Open up the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Enlighten us. We see deeper, wider, higher, and in more vivid color than we've ever seen before. So great to see you. Thank you, Steve. Glad we get more. Lovely to have people from River and people from the JM family here, like mixing together. I know we trip it out, but it's so profoundly deeply true that he only has one church in the UK. The Ecclesia, the sons and daughters of light, knit together by the Spirit. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to just open up and we'll want to make sure we activate it by lunchtime. And then Jeanette, we haven't got a home team. Jeanette is our home team. So I am the home team. I am the home team. We're family, we're all in it together. So clearing up lunch and we're all in it together. And Jeanette will come and say what she needs. And then we've got fab lunch, and then we've got a great Indian coming tonight. And lovely time together. And we really wanted not to pack it too full. So this afternoon you'll have an option. You just go down to Lyme Regis, just go down to Seat and go for a walk on the beach. We'll have a little group who might want to come and just sit with Paul and I and talk about these things I'm opening up now in over coffee. And then if you want a prophetic little three, we can put the prophetic threes together. So that will be after lunch tonight, depending on where you're at. You might just want to go for a walk on your own. That's allowed. I no longer believe in packing pastors' times full of stuff. But actually, exactly, to really enjoy it together. I think that I don't think I'm exaggerating, that the last year since July, well, since August the 28th, actually, last year, I've had a revolution in my walk with God. And I'd say my life has been turned upside down such that I look back and I got saved when I was 18. The change from being not saved to saved was so radical. Then there was the change from pre-Jesus ministry to getting hold of the Jesus ministry truths, open up the whole world in a whole new way. That was a massive transformation. And I think what's happened in the last year has been for me an equally level of transformation. And it's been remarkable. And I'm totally got my L plates on. You know, absolutely. Not even one of those ones which are green. You know, like you pass, it's the ones which are red. Totally. Like, and so I can share with you where I've got to, and it may not be right what I'd share next year, because I may have gone, well, I will have gone deeper in a year's time. So I'm going to share a bit about my story, and I'm wondering whether, because I believe there's a new wineskin coming to the church. But yeah, what is it? I would just suggest some of this may be something of the new wineskin that's coming to the church wider, so that she can carry a greater dimension of God's presence and glory to be the church that God wants her to be in the nation. I totally still believe in revival, but I totally believe in the church rising and shining. Those two are profoundly connected. I don't have time how much to talk about that later. So go back to December 2023. Is that right? Yep. I was in Pontypridd working with a couple called Mark and Liz who planted a church in a very hard part of town. And I wake up in the morning and in their daughter's bed, and she loves sweetly to let me use her room. And I wake up in the morning and I wake up in an experience of being on a zip wire. And I clipped on to the zip wire. And then I realized I was at the bottom and the zip wire went up. And the scripture God spoke to my heart were the upward call of God in Christ. Wow. I'm like, oh, wow, what the heck? Because I realize that you can't go upwards on a zip. Well, you can go downwards. Gravity will take you. But you can't go upwards unless someone else with power pushes you up. Or you're on those ski lifty type things. But in other words, you don't have the ability. And I'm like, I don't have the ability to do this. But I'm called to it. Next day, I come back. I was seeking the Lord about it all. And God speaks to me out of Revelation 3, the letter to the church of the Philadelphians. And he says, I've set before you an open door that no man can shut. And I did a little bit of research. I love studying the scriptures. And that can mean an open door into the heavens. It can also mean an open door of opportunity. And I suggest both are true. That God was opening for me an open door into the heavens and new opportunities. I then resigned from the Church of England, which is all part of that process for me, of God separating me out to start something new in my life. And if we then fast forward to July of 2024, I had an experience on Taunton Station, which I'll tell you about. But to understand it, you've just got to go back 2 years. I was seeking the Lord in prayer after I left Christchurch, and God showed me a blue train. Now, over the years, for the last 30 years, it's been one of those prophetic motifs that God's used in my life. Most of us have prophetic motifs that keep coming up again and again and again in some shape or form. And trains has been a consistent one in different shapes or forms. But I saw this train waiting for me in a station, and it was a blue train with its tender and its carriages. But what I noticed about the train was one of those trains that has the drop head. For those who like trains, do you remember the Mallard? It was a bright blue train. It wasn't that colour. It was a deeper, richer blue, but it had a drop head. So instead of like Thomas the Tank Engine's got a round head, round front, this was like a drop, slopey front. And it was beginning to leave the station, and Lord said, I'm taking you to a new train. And I knew it was going to be a fresh start in some shape or form, or something that was new to me. Well, take you forward to July the 17th. July the 17th, I go to pick my daughter Sarah up from the station at Taunton. We live 10 minutes from here. Popped up to Taunton to pick her up. And I was only going to park, I don't know Taunton's. Hello, the Johnsons. Welcome. Lovely to see you. If any of you know Taunton Station, you can park, wait outside and people come out and you jump in the car and off you go. But I needed a wee. So I went to park the car, went into the station, got to the gates were open, surprisingly. I thought, well, that's great. Didn't have to pay to go. Went down left to the station. So I'm going down. There's these lovely old carriages. The old Pullman carriages, and they've got these beautiful lights, and people are eating lovely meals. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But I knew the pee. So I go into the loo, come out the loo. I love how preserved God is and all this. Come out the loo, and I look. And I've probably got about 5 minutes before Sarah turns up. And I thought, huh. So I look at the train, and I see a gaggle of people up to my left. And I think, oh, must be a special train. People, you know, it's a train spotter crew were there. So I walked up to it, and this is what I came across. And as I walk up, I'm going to myself, no, it's not going to be a blue train. It can't be a blue train. And blow me down, it was a blue train. Now, if we go back 2 years, so I had the first had the word, they were building up in Darlington a new train, that was designed by a man called Nigel Gresley. Nigel Gresley designed all the great trains of the last century, Mallard, Flying Scotsman, and so I put some money, I put 25 quid in as a prophetic down payment on a new train with new all state-of-the-art engineering, that they were creating a brand new train, steam train, the most powerful one that's ever been in the UK, off of Nigel Gresley's designs. Okay. And so when I first had that word, I did a bit of research, I put some money into that fund to say, yep, I'm owning this word for my life. So 2 years later, I get onto the station, I see the train, and I walk up and I get to the front, and I realise that this is called the Sir Nigel Gresley. Wow. And I'm like, oh my word. So I watched it, chuff, 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 way out. I mean, it's gorgeous, the sound of it, just gorgeous. But I walked away just really quite in shock. I'm like, open mouth. Because at that time, I was extremely ill. I was probably that far from retiring from all ministry and saying, I'm done, I can't do this anymore. It's just, my body won't let me do it. And I'm like, I walked away from it going, this is a fresh call. And therefore, if you put a fresh call on me, my body's going to be okay. So it was phenomenal for me. But I didn't know what it meant. All I knew was I'd seen the thing. I couldn't unsee it. It's probably in Taunton Station about 10 minutes a year. Because it tends to do the north. And you can spend £500 on an afternoon on the train and have your lunch and your tea. And, you know, and nobody wants to send me on the train. You're very welcome to. But it's just very... So it was absolutely extraordinary for me to be there at that moment, given what it all meant to me. But that then made me dive into 2 months of intercession, of deep prayer. God, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And he basically connected it to what had happened with the Zipwa word. And he said to me, I'm pulling you away from almost all ministry that's people-centered here. And I'm sending you up. And I want you to take time to devote to coming up. So I'm thinking about this, I'm praying about this, I don't quite know what it all means. I have a little bit of experience of pursuing the heavenlies and some experiences in my life, but not in any consistent way, and it would come and it would go. And then I have gorgeous friends like Paul Hopkins and Steve Avery, and you know they get that kind of crazy stuff. And I'm much more of a sort of down-to-earth sort of bloke. But I'm like, I don't know. I can't go up the zip wire. I have to be taken. This is outside of my power. Over to you, Lord. August the 28th, it's a bank holiday Monday. I'm sitting in my blue chair in my house. And as I sit down, bank holiday Monday, about 6 o'clock in the evening, I have an experience of being at a gate, stepping through the gate into a field as though I'd left my garden. I haven't got a gate in my garden, but it was that type. And I could see the hills of Wales. I mean, they weren't wells, but they were hills stretching out. And I felt just like maybe Frodo or Bilbo might have felt at the beginning of a journey. I'm going somewhere, and the Lord said, it starts tomorrow. And I'm like, what? So, as of August the 29th, I got up. I've been on a wild and crazy experience journey into a more of a vertical type of spirituality than I've ever experienced before. Of understanding prayer for the nation and prayer for the church. What it means, he's been showing me how to pray from a high place, what that looks like, what that means. Evan Roberts said when he left the Welsh Revival after a year and a half, he stepped away. He said, by preaching I can affect Wales, by praying I can affect the whole world. And Lord said, this is what I'm calling you to step away, to come high, and have a greater impact through prophetic intercession from a high place than through anything you can accomplish by your doing. December comes, end of December. Karen and I have an issue in our life that we're praying over. It just looks difficult and intractable. The Lord says to me one morning, I want you to pray that the mist clears. So I look in the spirit. I look and I see the mist, and then I have an absolute shock, and I see the wings of a dragon. And I couldn't cope with it. And about 6 hours later, I went back to it, and I said, Lord, okay, what do I need to say about this thing? And it was dying on the valley floor, but I was up on a high place, up on a high mountain. And there were angelic angels involved, and they all said, this has tried to kill you for 10 years. And I first saw this in 2015, before we had some of you know the story, a major rebellion that took place in my church. And it's witchcraft and religion operating together. And it was 10 years, literally to the week, that the thing broke out. And Lord said, it's done. The problem disappeared by within a day. And I realized that it was all energized by demonic power and the activity of witchcraft. So that got my attention big time. And it was probably my first experience of really praying from a very high place in that way. And then the next thing that happened, and I'm going to just give you some highlights, was so lovely Jeanette and Paul, who they moved out of London, and we moeved out of London in 2022. They came to Yeovil. We went via Amersham and came to Honiton. So we meet up. And they came and spent a weekend with us. And Sunday morning, we're praying. We're just all praying for each other. And they're praying for Karen and I, and we're just waiting on the Lord. And I see a tree come shooting up in my garden, just like a great big redwood tree. And Jeanette says, I see a tree. That's great. She says, it's the faraway magic tree from Enid Blyton. How many of you have ever written faraway? Okay. So on the faraway magic tree, you'd go up into the tree, up into the branches, and each branch there was a different world. And you'd go into different worlds. And I'm like, whoa, what the heck? But I received it because I just had this image of the tree, and I'm like, what? So my screensaver on my phone, as it comes up, oh, that's the revival one there, I'm coming up, is a giant redwood tree. Anyways, that's a whole other story. 3 days later, seeking the Lord, spending time with the Lord, so what I've been having to learn to do is to step through doorways, portals, or openings into the Spirit, which is very consciously leaving behind my life as I know it, not because it's disconnected because I'm still me, but is a conscious stepping out of what I know into what I don't know. And I was doing that, and I found myself stepping into a huge cave, and there were six cave openings. And each of them was a portal into a different revelation of the character of God. So one of them was fire, one of them was light, one of them was water, one of them was wind, one was the angelic, and one of them was glory. And so for the next, I'm still doing it, when I get alone with God, often deep in the middle of the night, I will step through a portal and come into a realm and begin to experience that realm. And there's not much to do except behold and gaze. But 2 Corinthians tells us that as we behold him, we are transformed. So there is a transformation that comes through repentance and reading your scriptures. That's true and appropriate. Nothing wrong with that. But there's another dimension to transformation that comes from beholding in a realm that you are taken into. Because we all have unveiled faces. Are free to see. And this is where we're going to in that kind of next few minutes. They're like, this calling is on all of us. We're all invited up and in and through into deeper realms to see. Because you're born in your spirit. Your spirit being is your most fundamental part of your nature, and it is burning with light. And it can see. And it is holy, and it is on fire. And it is light, and it is full of glory, and it is full of colour. And that spirit nature, which resides within your body and your soul, is both, it's like the Trinity, it's both separate and it's all one. And it's beginning to access that, because I wasn't taught this in charismatic school. I wasn't certainly wasn't taught it in theological school. And it's like, but I think something's opening up that takes us, if we're willing to go there, into a place of identity and glory that we've already been given, that we already know in the scriptures, but how do I access it and am I allowed to? So since that time, I've partnered with... No, I'm still, I'm glad that I can think. So, 25 past, hey, I'm doing quite well. Would you just turn to someone you... Oh yeah, I didn't, you asked me why. I didn't mind. Turn to somebody. What's been your journey around... I would put money on the fact, good money, on the fact every single one of us has had heavenly experiences. Why don't you just turn and share a little bit... Did I tell you like what it all was, but what have you experienced? How do you respond to that? How do you respond to what I'm saying? Because I believe that what I get to say is only to activate what you already are, and you already have experienced. And hopefully it's going to give you permission to go after it with like full force confidences of God and not some wacky like modern fad. Does it make sense? So what do you share with each other? A little about what's happened, where you're at on this stuff, how are you doing? Anyone need notes? Oh, okay. Okay, I think everyone's got them. Cheryl, anyone need one? No, I think everyone's got.
No. Brilliant. I'm being offered rather than needing.
Very Christian. The spares. Great. I wonder if I need to order more Indian food tonight. Let's see. It's nice to have more people than less people. So, I've entitled it New Creation Spirituality. And I don't know if that floats your boat, how you think about that. But I think this whole journey is in becoming who we are. And it all is because we're new creations. Now, what that means is fascinating in itself because the new creation is coming, but we are deposits of the new creation ahead of time. Not just I am personally a new creation, which I am, but I am a manifestation of the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth that's coming. So I'm on the earth ahead of time. You're on the earth ahead of time. And time doesn't matter in the spirit realm anyway. It's just something we do in our physical, of course, but not in the spirit. Because you were chosen before the creation of the world. So I put here, I believe the Lord is looking to teach us to ascend, transcend, because you've got to, it's not just the wanting to come up, you've got to hold that place over the world system, which gravitation wants to pull you down into the realm of sin and death, which you've been delivered from. And then unleash the kingdom, however that comes. So that the earth is affected and people are saved and creation is impacted ahead of that day. And that all of us are called to embrace the upward call of God in Christ, Philippians 3. And that heavenward journey, which we tend to have thought is for after I die, is now. The heavenward journey is now. And we have now access into the heavens, not then access into the heavens. And I think part of the religious mindset is always to push off what's available now to a day when. Yeah. New creation reality. Scriptures you will know very well. 2 Corinthians 5, you are new creations in Christ. 1 John 1, you have been born of God. 2 Peter 1, you share in the divine nature. Colossians 1 verse 27, Christ in us, the hope of glory. All foundational new creation scriptures which you have taught on and know and... What's exciting is the upgrade in the reality of that, that's becoming available. And we've always said that these scriptures were a starter pack to take you somewhere, not the end pack, just so we know it. We were chatting to someone the other day, we were saying it's a bit like having this great big 4x4 in the showroom. And we buy it and we put it in the garage and all we do is go around and just saying, what a lovely car is this, what a lovely car is it, what a lovely car is it. We need to drive it up into the hills. So our new nature, and everything begins here, is we are one with God in spirit. I'll unpack that for a while. We're included in the Trinity. Jesus says in John 14, my Father and I will come and make our home with him. Well, we do believe the Holy Spirit is involved in that process. And then a great scripture from John G. Lake, one of his favourite scriptures. As he is, so are we in this world. Not as he will be, or as he is, so will we be. It's a now reality. When John G. Lake, retired from the healing rooms in Spokane, which many of you will know about the story. The people of Spokane said to him, Mr. Lake, you have revealed to us a Jesus we did not know we could have this side of heaven. Wow. Because of his conviction of the now reality of the kingdom, yeah. Rather than always being, oh, it's now, not yet. And it almost always means, well, it's not yet. Is it now? Yeah. It's a lot more now.
Yeah.
And this heaven reality is a lot more now.
Yeah.
And we're coming into a revelation of that. He is light, living light, which is substantial. So I can put my hand wave through light. You can't do that with God. His light is substantial. It is real. In C.S. Lewis's language, Great Divorce, we're the ghosts. He's the reality. Whereas the natural mind thinks he's the invisible and we're the solid ones. It's exactly the opposite way around. Now, if we had time, you want to unpack light. Do you know how fast light is?
Fast.
It goes around the world 3 times in a second in a vacuum. 3 times. 186,000 miles per second. Per second. And it never accelerates. The light in your spirit that you carry, because you are light in the Lord, your light burns. Instantly, it's fully on.
Wow.
Light doesn't accelerate. It's instantly. Turn on a bulb, it's instantly 186,000 miles a second.
Yeah.
That means you can pray for someone and be in Australia right now, in a blink of an eye, in a twinkling of an eye, and pray for them as you see them in the spirit.
Yeah.
And you can release light, and you are light. Light is a superior realm, because it was the first realm created in Genesis. God said, let there be light, and he separated light from darkness before he made the sun and the moon. So we're not talking about creation, we're talking about a realm of light that is superior to the realm of sin and death that we live in. So he is light, we are light. He is glory, we carry his glory. We are holy, he is holy. We're seated with him, he is seated next to the Father. We can behold him. Our home and citizenship is now in heaven while I'm on the planet. The temple in the old covenant was surrounded, the whole of the temple that was covered in the walls with pictures of trees and palm trees and angelic beings. And they were saying, heaven's here. Heaven and earth married up in the temple. How much more us in the new covenant who are the temples? And we're meant to think about angels and we're meant to think about the heavenly things. We have access to the throne of God and we can boldly approach the throne of grace because one has already made the way. We're indwelt by eternal life and as we have access to limitless life all the time, wherever we are, the kingdom of heaven is not just up there and out there, it's within you. I've had a huge shift in the last 6 weeks from pursuing going through portals up and out to going down and in to portals that are open in my spirit. Because the kingdom is within you, therefore realms of water, light, fire, rivers, streams, geysers, waterfalls, are within you to be released out through you. And I do deeply believe, and I haven't got time to tell you a bit of my story because I've seen a significant shift in my health since I stepped into this, that as you access the kingdom within you and see how God is releasing healing into your body through the Spirit, you're able to start resonating with it and singing your healing into being alongside what you see. Sometimes it's a multimedia experience. You see things, you hear things, you resonate, and you begin to match up and let it flood your body. It's like, I just feel like a kid in the candy shop store. Like, take my son, my God's grandsons down to Sidmouth. There's a couple of sweetie shops down there. And they go, like, I'd be like this. And I feel like that right now. I just feel like I have this whole box of magic tricks have been opened up to me. The deep heavenly magic. The deep magic of heaven. We're bilocational and multidimensional. It means you can be in more than one place at one time. And you can have more dimensions at one time than you know you're in, because you're at its simplest, you're seated with Christ right now in the heavenly realms. So you're immediately to just say that, you realize you're multidimensional and bilocational. Jesus, who is a man, is both the man with glory in Revelation chapter 1. He's the lamb, he's the one on the horse. In that sense, Jesus is a shapeshifter. Because he has different dimensions of himself that he will reveal. So do you. The eyes of our hearts are enlightened and we can see unseen realities. Revelation 4 and 5 are now realities, not days to come when we all die and go to heaven. And we can all fix our eyes on the unseen. And it's fascinating because what Paul says is, therefore, fix your eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. So how do you fix your eyes on unseen things? He doesn't say believe in, remember that. He says fix your eyes, and we'll see as we get a little bit. It's so much this is about how you look and what you let your eyes see. Because we're in union with him, and we are like him, and we are welcome into heavenly realms, because that's our home. My Jonty and Emma and the God's grandsons are living with us at the moment. So for the next 2 months, our home is their home. It's always a bit of a shock when they treat it like a home. But the point is, we're thrilled. They don't have to ask if they can walk through that door and go into that room. See, you step through one door, into another room. Stepping into dimensions of heaven is no harder than stepping from your sitting room into your hallway. You just step through the door. It's not even about pressing in. Christian language, pressing in. It's about trusting, seeing, flowing, enjoying. Most of the pressing is not going back to the flesh, which pulls us back, rather than trying to make it happen that way. It's not going that way, it's simple that way. Our access to the heavens. Jesus is the man from heaven. John 3:13 says, the Son of Man who is in heaven. The translation often say, "Who came?" There's only one who's come from heaven, the Son of Man. There's only one who knows the heavens, the Son of Man who came from heaven. It also says, there's only one who knows the heavens, the Son of Man who is in heaven. So he's on the earth and he's in heaven at the same time. Because heaven is a dimension, not a place. Although it is a place, but it's also a dimension. Do you know light is a wave and a particle at the same time? It's a substance and a wave. Bros, I mean, no one gets it. The core of all creation is electromagnetic force, which is the manifestation of light. So this idea of light, gosh, we could talk about it for a long time. But if you want to go deeper into stuff, begin to do some study on light and say, Lord, how is this a reflection of the supernatural realm that I'm now part of, because I'm made of light? I woke up in the night about 6 weeks ago, and God said to me, your fundamental nature is light, and I began to see it. I began to see myself clothed. I was light, and it was me. It was the light, and there was these veins of gold flowing through it, and it was bright. And I'm like, oh my Lord. It's interesting because I don't feel a lot at the moment. I feel like my body and my soul is still too attached to the earth. And I'm having to resonate with heaven and begin to, a bit like coming up a mountain, getting used to base camp. You don't just go up a mountain because you'll die. You have to acclimatize. And I think there's an acclimatizing that has to go on so we begin to resonate with heaven, because we're so used to resonating with the earth and what's for lunch, and my foot hurts, and it's a cold day. We're so used to it that actually, as we'll see from Colossians, it's not that that's wrong. It's just it will stop us going somewhere if that becomes our reality. He is the portal into the unseen heavenly realms. I am the gate. Yes. Access from one realm to another. His life, death and resurrection opens up a way through the heavenlies. We go with him through the open door into the throne room. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through or ascended, so this is the language of journey, of migrating from one realm to another, passed through the heavens, or into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, who is the hero of the whole story, not us, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then, in the light of all that, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. So you can step in, open your scriptures, and you can go any passage in scripture that speaks of celestial things and use it as a way into an encounter with God with confidence. Years ago, God said to me, well, if it's in the book, it's on the menu. You're allowed access to everything in the book. And it's learning to step through what you read into the reality that it opens up. Jesus said, you restudy the scriptures, yet you refuse to come to me. So there's a studying of the scriptures that studies the scriptures, and they're the scriptures, and you know the scriptures. But then there's a studying of the scriptures to step through them into the reality behind who is the person. That's what we have to learn to do, because we've been trained to study the scriptures and reinforce what we already know. But we're studying the scriptures to get access to something we've never experienced yet, and we want to learn what's possible. Scripture reveals that doors, gates, windows, ladders, openings are spirit portals into the unseen realms. And we're invited up. But we must choose to engage, respond, and step in by faith. Even Moses, when he sees the burning bush and the portal opens up, the doorway opens up into an access of an encounter, he has to stop, see, turn aside. He could have walked straight past. So there is an engagement all of us have to make to stop, look, gaze, and step in, because you can walk straight past it and be a good Christian. Yeah. Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, I've been struck by the word surrounded. If Vince is in Lyme Regis and I'm here, I'm not surrounded by Vince. He exists, I exist, but we're in different towns. But if Vince, clearly this is the whole family, are literally standing around me, then I'm surrounded by him. In others, there is proximity, it's closeness. The idea of the cloud of witnesses being off distance somewhere is not what he's saying here. We're surrounded. My experience at this point is I've begun to engage with the cloud of witnesses, but I've not spoken to any of them. That hasn't happened. I'm not looking for it. If it comes, it comes. I'm looking for Jesus, and that's my priority. But if I start encountering them and they start talking to me, well, that's a different thing. But I've had some encounters with them, but it's not come into where somebody has come and chatted to me. I have your expectation of will, but as and when. And then look what Hebrews is the most phenomenal book for supernatural revelation. It's also phenomenal if you're Jewish. For most of us, we don't get it at all because we're not. But you have, have come. But you have come to Mount Zion. Just as a quick parenthesis, the Bible Project series on mountains is absolutely phenomenal, as is their series on dragons in the Bible and powers. And you can get it all free on the Bible Project app, and it's just, I honestly believe, absolute revelation for our day if you're excited about this sort of stuff. You and I have already come to Mount Zion, which is the mount, which is the presence of God. Mountains are the place of encounter. You've already come to the city of the living God, the New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. Just to say, the heavenly Jerusalem is not a building. It's not a city. It's us. Because it's the bride of Christ. So we've already come to this heavenly Jerusalem. You're already in it. And there's this repeated frame in Revelation, the heavenly Jerusalem that is coming down from heaven. It's already coming. It's the question, how much can we access of the heavenly Jerusalem while we're on the earth? Rather than waiting for it to come on a day when. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. I mean, the Anglicans got it right. Therefore, with angels, archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy great and glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, holy, holy. They got it. They're caught up in the angelic and the heavenly realms. Yeah, all the time. It's learning to see and learning to dare to see. We've come to the church of the firstborn, that's you and me, whose names are written in heaven. We've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, that's the company, the cloud of witnesses, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. There's about three of those sentences which historically the evangelical charismatic church, I believe, we've come to. The rest I don't know what to do with. But we've come to them all. And already come to them, which is what's so absolutely phenomenal. We are now free from and rise above the power of sin and death through the power of the Spirit. Okay, so just go with me here. Therefore, there is now condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the power, the word law there means power, as in law of gravity, not the Pentateuch. For the power of the Spirit of life has set us free from the power of sin and death. The whole of creation, fallen creation, lives under the gravitational pull of sin and death, of the lower realms. We're all under it. This teaching in Scripture says we've now been set free from that. We come above the realm of sin and death and all the demonic powers that operate within this realm. We come up above, we access that reality and resonate that reality, and we become like that reality. That we come back into the realm of sin and death, burning with life and light and love. And that's more than just the theory of having a quiet time in theory. It's how do I actually access it so all my senses begin to resonate with it. Okay, so let me try this on you, and I'm conscious of time. Jesus, I'll go with this. Jesus himself lived in this reality. He was above sin and death whilst living on the earth. And he was so saturated, body, soul, and spirit, with life and light, that when people touched him, they were healed. Because it just shot through them in faith. Anyone wonder why healing was so easy for him? Because he was carrying life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. He is the living embodiment of this stuff. So I have a spirit, soul, and a body. My spirit carries all this light and life. But my soul and my body are catching up with it. So when people touch me, they are very likely to touch just my flesh. Because I'm still too attached to my flesh. So picture a wire. Okay, a wire, electrical wire. If you've got no cover on it, what happens when you touch the wire? Instant. But if it's got a wire in it, it's safe. We're too safe. And the flesh life needs, as we learn to activate this heavenly life, we learn to let it radiate throughout our soul and our bodies so that we are like a live wire of heavenly light and life and healing and truth and grace and love and all of the above so that they get a shock of life. Whereas too often what's happening is we're trying to pray for healing, but we're so connected to the natural that we're like a very slow reactor or a slow conductor of the electricity of heaven. This is, I believe, the kingdom life that we're called to live in the power of the Spirit of life and transcend the realm of sin and death so that we can come into the realm of sin and death and change it. Boy, this has got to change our thinking. Because so much of our thinking, so much of church thinking institutional church thing is actually how do I cope with death? How do I cope with death in all its forms? Diminishment, lack, less. And we make agreements with it. And we've got to learn to come up higher and break our agreements with the old mindsets that keep us stuck down. So what's our response? Saturate your heart and thinking and imagination in the heavenly realities. Since then you have been raised with Christ. No, you have been again. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Obvious point, but you are in the above. Yeah. The above is not above you, because you've already been raised. So there is no above you. You're in the above. So now think about being in the above, and you might live like one who is in the above. Whereas if the above is above you, and you're down here, which is classic religious thinking, then you're always trying to get heaven to come to you, which is most of our Christian songs. Terrible theology most of the time. And you start writing some songs around this, they're going to call you arrogant, prideful, who the heck do you think you are? Because the religious mind doesn't get it. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Bill Johnson, I love Bill Johnson, and one of the things he said is one of the reasons we often don't see much change in our prayers when we pray on earth as in heaven is because we don't really know what heaven's like. So we're praying a theory, not an experiential reality. As we access these realms and begin to see and taste heavenly realities, we now have much more idea of what we're praying and releasing than just a theory. Approach with confidence and engage by faith. Knock on doors. I hope that's opened up that scripture. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. Knock and the doors will be open to you. Knock on the portals.
Wow.
Get up those ladders. Step in through those entrance gates. Swing wide the gates. Look, gaze, behold. Lift up your eyes, turn aside and look. And be intentional. Daniel 4:13 says, Daniel, on his bed at night, had visions in his mind. He's on his bed. I recognize this. I'm on my bed at night. I'm seeing stuff as I step in through these portals and these things that God has opened up for me. And I see stuff, but I'm still in my bed. And you go, well, is that really very real? Is that really? Really? It's just your imagination. Well, Daniel then writes scripture. And there's the old phrase, did you see the angel with your eyes of your spirit or did you see him with your eyes open? Well, what's the difference? It's us who then put a judgment on a mindset that says it must be in accordance with the natural and the flesh. But bless those who have not seen and believe. Because you've seen in a different way because you're seeing the unseen, which is eternal. Learn to let your spirit flow with what you hear, see and sense. One of the things I battle with, because we all have our own struggles with this stuff. One of mine was, what if I get it wrong? What if I go loopy? What if I'm deceived? I read stuff from people who are way ahead of me in this stuff. I do not agree with everything they write. So how do I? And the Lord said, did you not ask for? If you ask for a fish, I'm not going to give you a serpent. Okay, so you've got to trust enough. That as you go into an experience, you step through and you dare to let your imagination, your heart, your mind, your senses go somewhere that your Father is taking you and he will show you. And you can't judge it or discern or test it as you're in it. You'll kill it. You have to let yourself go and flow in the river rather than keep grabbing onto handles saying, am I right? Am I okay? Because you, as soon as you start saying, am I okay? You've stepped out of being in it to analyze yourself. You know, you can't think about how you're worshipping and worship at the same time. You can't think about if you're hearing God's voice and hearing God's voice at the same time. You can't perceive the heavens and think about are you perceiving the heavens at the same time. You've got to let yourself see it. Let yourself, he's got a sports day. You've got to let yourself be in it. Does that make sense? Which is, for me, it's like I have to let the hand, I have an internal handbrake. Panic, fear. What if I get it wrong? What if I'm an idiot? I woke up last Sunday night, absolutely convinced I'm completely mad. I shouldn't be teaching this stuff. It's a complete, and I knew the enemy was having a go at me, but playing on an old weakness. I'm able to deal with it, which is great. But we all have our own struggles. It's always around fear, control, because they always go together, don't they? Unbelief, lack of creativity, because we didn't know we were allowed to, so we don't let ourselves go there, and the desire to stay safe. Take your time to get acclimatized, because you're going to have to set your face like flint to go after this stuff. Because every distraction in the world is going to come your way. And I think one of the most foundational things as you come up into these realms, you step into new realities, is to let go of agendas. Let go of what you're planning to pray for. Because God will probably have you pray completely different about the thing you're going to pray for as you come into a higher level of resonance with revelation. Some simple steps. Start with scripture. Every time you read scripture, it's a doorway, it's a portal into a reality that lies behind it. Every scripture. So use scripture. I know Paul will say this later, but I know the first 9 months of Paul's journey on this, every single day he went to Revelation 4. The set of scriptures I've been to pretty much every single day, because I just need to keep going. Sometimes I really feel it, sometimes I don't feel it, sometimes everything flows, sometimes it's stuck like mud. It's the keeping going, because I'm still too connected to the earth. I'm still too connected to the earth. The heavens work very differently to the earthly realms. We have much learning and unlearning to do. What's the purpose and goal of all this? To take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me, which is in that passage about the upward call. To know him, to become like him, to actualize your heavenly supernatural inheritance, to partner with God in the angelic realm, to unleash heaven in the world around you, to destroy the works of the evil one, and above all, to bring glory to God on the earth while you have time. All of that is not to have flashy experiences that you can post on Instagram and Facebook everyone how cool you are. Of course, glory to God. It's actually so much of this is to be secret. You don't share, you don't talk. I've shared probably 10%, and I've asked the Lord for permission. I hope I got it right. Because what do I not share? Because so much of it is to be held, prayed, waited on, looked, gazed, and it's not for public consumption. So what about the new wineskin? Jesus said new wine isn't poured into a new wineskin. And yet that seems to be what we do as a church. We sing our songs and we have our notices and we have our talks and we have ministry at the end. And we do what we, there's almost nothing different really to what we were doing 20 years ago. And we keep asking God to bless it more. But what if something needs to shift with us rather than waiting for God to do his job better? I think something in this is something of the new wineskin that the church at a large is going to be waking up to over the next 5 or 6 years. I believe there is an extraordinary move of God that is coming. But part of us getting ready is arising and shining. Because as Isaiah 60 says, nations will come to the rising of our glory. As we rise and manifest who we are, and that becomes more of a common language than a wacky thing over here for some wacky kids, becomes, then actually the saints will come up into this. And then we're able to welcome and then flow with the things that God is going to do. Because we're not ready. If what we are doing now, or if it was going to change the nation of work, it would have worked a while ago, because we're doing the same things as we've done for years, including Jesus' ministry. I'm not claiming that, what we learned is absolutely fabulous. I believe it's utterly foundational, but it's got to take us somewhere. and my where I'm at, and I not only offer it to you, because is this is something of the new. And Isaiah 60 is, nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Yeah. And that's something around here, which is I think part of what the new is, which is why it's been so incredibly targeted in our lives. So why don't you just pop your hand on your heart. So ask the Lord to show you what the portal ahead of you looks like. Is it a door? Is it a gate? Is it a window? Is it a gap in a hedge? Just ask him to show you what it looks like ahead of you today. Because there's something about this, it's profoundly personal, this journey. Unique to you and your walk with the Lord, your revelation. When you're ready, just say yes, Lord, and step through. Step into the new dimension, from one field to the next field through the gate, from one room to the next room through the door. Wow. And who's there to greet you? Who's there to be there? If you struggle to use your imagination, just ask the Lord to come and help you. We'll hear stuff, we'll see stuff, we'll sense stuff, we'll feel stuff. The goal is all our senses flowing with light and colour and life, richness. Just take a moment to talk to the Lord about this next step for you. And just start, take a moment before we finish. Just thank the Lord. He's leading you. He's gone ahead to prepare a place for you. Jesus. That's not meant to be a scripture only about death, funerals, folks. He's gone ahead to prepare a place for you so he might take you to be with him. He's taking you to be with him now. Just thank him. He's doing it. In one sense, you and I are privileged enough to be here at this time, hearing this stuff. And he's not going to abandon you halfway through the journey, halfway up the mountain. He's not going to let you be deceived. You will become more alive than you've ever. I found myself singing this song as I drove. I haven't sung it for years. I'm just going to sing it over us before we have lunch. And every good and perfect gift comes from you, Father of lights. You delight in your children, Father of lights. You delight in your children, and every good and perfect gift comes from you, and every good and perfect gift comes from you, Father of lights. Lord, we receive your good and perfect gift. Awaken the wonder and the childlike wonder of my grandsons in the sweetie shop. And I pray you give us the grace to go play and have fun and learn on the journey. In Jesus' name, amen.